And then tonight, together, we will explore the biblical stories of people. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and Peter. Four lives. They are all so different. Same family, but what they bring out from their own lives. Very different. Different theme. And different way to deal with their life situations. So it is important for us to unpack what they did. And what happened to their lives. And what happened to, what caused what happened to them in their lives. And what caused them to be. So we are going to unpack that. So it's not going to be lecture tonight, but you are going to unpack those stories. And we come back together in a plenary session, we'll together understand their life stories a little better. And then you go back to your own group, in your group discussion, we are going to unpack your own life. I think it's very important that you need to unpack your life. Your life stories. You have to understand your life story so that you can live better life. I want all of us to live a good life. Religion, good religion always helps us live a good life. So we are going to today. What happens to you in life has a significant impact on you. It determines and shapes who you are. When I was second year in university, nothing happened on the outside. Everything was going very well. But deep inside, a lot of things were happening in second year. Is that really what I want to do for the rest of my life? Is that how I want to live? All kinds of questions started rising when I was in second year. And deep in my heart, it was like a turmoil, it's like a strong waves. Outside, nothing. I took courses and I was doing okay, but deep inside, a lot of struggles. And then I came to a decision to go into ministry in my second year. That's how I am. Now, I'm standing in front of you and then speaking to you. It determined my life. It determined who I am. What life I live. So especially college students, whatever you decide, whatever happens in your life has a lifetime effect, impact. So it is very important for all of us to understand what is going on in me. And then what is the story that I can articulate. So it is very important for all of us to write our own stories. My basic question is this. Is life random or is life gracious? What I'm saying is, whatever is happening in your life, are they happening randomly? Disconnected events? What happens to you is just random events? Or is there shape? Or is there something behind what's happening in your life? These are two big questions that we have to ask ourselves. Is it just accidental events that happen, or what happens in life, is a message that is hidden behind all that. So, simple question is, can you see? Our life just random dots. This happened today, tomorrow that happens, and next year this happens, all these just random dots. Or if you connect these dots, is there some shape in your life? Can you tell what that shape is? I believe that that shape is a story. You are making a shape. What's happening in your life is not just dots. Who you marry, what kind of children you have, what kind of education you have, what job you do, and what happened in your church, what happened with your friends. All this happening somehow are interconnected with each other and create a shape. And that shape is a story. Sometimes not only good things are happening, but also bad things are happening. But bad things look like bad things, but when you look back, bad things can be also good things. But bad things, we don't just give value to the things themselves, to the things themselves, but how they are connected with others, it can be good things. Even though it is bad things, originally, but when you connect it with something else, it can become good things. So we don't know exactly what shape it will make. So what's happening in your life is important, but also how you read, how you understand what's happening in your life is more important. Because that gives a shape. That gives a meaning. That gives a story. You are the one who is writing a story. Nobody is writing a story. You are writing a story. How you connect them together is you. Of course, with the help of God. So there are some major events that shape your life, and there are some events that you easily forget. So you need to really pick out some of the important things that are happening in your life, and then learn how to connect them together. For example, you're going to unpack some groups. We have four people and four groups. So two groups will study one person. And Joseph's life, you will study in the evening today. But when you look at Joseph's life, you know basically the stories of biblical figures, right? Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and Peter. So Joseph had a dream and he had a problem. His brothers did not like that and then all that. So they kind of tried to kill him and ultimately they sold him into Egypt and he went to Egypt. And then Egypt, he worked in somebody's high official's house, but the wife tried to seduce him and then he didn't want to get involved in that. And then his wife got upset and sent him to the prison. And then, so he was in prison and then ultimately he became the prime minister of the Egypt. And all that story, all these things I had happened, a lot of things. So, some of good things, some of bad things, and all because of dream. Just one dream. And that caused just significant impact on this person. So all these things are happening, and then he could respond to all these things in a very bad way, but in the end, when he looked back, he connected all the stories together, all the events together, and then made a story and made a statement. And this is his statement. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He's talking about his brothers. His brothers sold him into Egypt. But it is not you who sent me, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Of course, he's talking based on the reality, but he's creating a story out of his life. He didn't see what's happening in his life was just random events. He saw graciousness in his life. He saw the grace of God in his own story. At the end of everything, he was able to connect dots. Now I see shape. I see shape. In your life too. When you're younger, maybe you see a lot of dots everywhere. But over the years, little by little, little shape, but dimly. But that shape becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. And at the end, this is the shape. I didn't know that. And then Joseph finally connected all the dots and then found a story. And that's what I want you to do in your life. Find that shape. What is that shape? What is that story? For example, Joseph, there were three options. He said he could, the first option is, hey, life is just random events. They are not connected, just unlucky things happen, and good things happen. It's just random. He could say that one thing. But second option is life events are not random events. Events are caused. And the cause was my brother's wickedness. And because of that, I had to be sold into Egypt, and I'm going through all these difficulties and hardships. When he connects the dots in that way, then deep inside, anger, desire to revenge. That will be the result of his emotion. The third option is, life events are not random events. Events are caused, but the cause was God. Then the result is experience of the graciousness. So you have three options. You can see whatever is happening is just random events. But whatever is happening is because of somebody, your parents, or somebody who did harm to you. Or you could see that there is God behind it all. So how we connect our dots is very important. Depending on how we do it, we can become a very angry person or very thankful person. You can write a very dark and gloomy story, or you can write an inspiring story with a depth of understanding. Stories of faith, I believe that. Stories of faith is stories of living out of a gracious God in an ungracious world. This world can be cruel, ungracious, but we find gracious God and living out of that. I do believe that our stories are not random events. They are not disconnected experiences. It has a distinct shape and make uniquely who you are. Your stories make you uniquely who you are. Like DNA makes you who you are. Your stories are very unique. It's your stories. For example, we have a retreat. There are about 100 people here. 70 people here. 70 people will go out and will write different stories depending on who you are. So stories make you uniquely who who you are. You know, some people talk about one experience over and over again. Like I have a friend, and he always talks about university time. Oh, when I was at U of T with my friends, and I drank, and all that. You know, every time I meet him, and he talks about his friends at university time. In other words, that is ingrained in that person. Like, for example, if I sit down with my father-in-law, he always talks about the same experience. Every time he talks, okay, I didn't tell you, but he told me about 100 times. I didn't tell you this, but let me tell you. And then he just spoke almost the exact same order. Right? I have to listen every. I know exactly what he's all going to say, right? So why? Because that certain event is so ingrained in that person. I mean, there are certain events like that. These are highlights deeply ingrained in that person that affected that person in a deep, meaningful way. Even though you may experience the same thing, but depending on how you make the meaning out of it, the story can be very different. Who you are makes meaning, and the way you make meaning shapes who you are. So, that. So, this is where you are, who you are. And then, what's this is how it works. Depending on who you are, what you're going to understand, what's happening in your life will be very different. But depending on how you understand what's happening in your life, also shapes again who you are. So it goes back and forth and back and forth. If you are the kind of person who is very negative and dark, and then you're going to interpret what's happening in your life in a very negative way. And then whatever meaning you make out of it, make you more negative person. And then you again see the reality in a very negative way, and because of that, you become more negative. You know, like a bad cycle, destructive cycle you go into. But if you're, let's say, a positive person, and then whatever is happening in your life, you interpret it in a positive way. And then that makes you become a more positive person. And then that gives you power to interpret your life in a more positive way. So in that way, you know, you are entering into the good cycle. So I want all of us to go into the good cycle rather than negative, bad cycle. So stories are not just what happened. It is you who make meaning out of what happens in your life. Sometimes we feel like our life is kind of messy. It's like entangled. So you don't know, or you cannot see anything. It's just life is totally, you're entrapped in life. Sometimes we feel that way. So think about tapestry. On the left side is the back side of the tapestry. The back side of the tapestry, when you look at it, it's like threads, and they're entangled, and nothing is connected, loose threads, and even uneven stitches, and all that. You see that. But when you turn it upside down, when you reverse it, then you see a beautiful picture. Life is like that. Sometimes you feel like you're messy, but there is a beautiful picture. which are hidden in your life. And your job is to find that beautiful picture in your life. Even though it looks messy right now, but with God, you will be able to discover that beautiful picture of your life in the end. So Kierkegaard, a philosopher, said, although life has to be lived forward, its full meaning is to be understood only retrospectively. Often when you look back, you can see clearly, more clearly. When you're going through, what you see is only messy stuff. But when you look back, there are a lot of nice things there was. You see some path. That was what Joseph did. In the beginning, he didn't interpret the dream. He said, I have this dream. But he didn't interpret it. But brothers interpreted it. They interpreted it a wrong way. That's why they hated Joseph. But Joseph did not interpret the dream. He just said, this is what the dream that I had. But after everything was over, then he interpreted what that dream was all about. What is your story? That's where you can find yourself. Do you know who you are? Find your story. That's where you will find yourself. That's our college interns did for their exercise. They interviewed people, and there was also they wrote their own stories, and they reflected on their own faith journey. What happened yesterday influenced today to make who I am. What I decide today influenced what I will be tomorrow. Our present life is shaped by what we did in the past and the decisions we made in the past. I think I shared this a few weeks ago in my sermon. Because of those decisions we made, we are here right now. We decided what to study, what career to choose, who to marry, and what to do with our life. All these have shaped who we are right now. I'm not saying that we all make good decisions. We made so many mistakes. All I'm saying is that they shaped who we are. As we look back though, our past was not all pretty and perfect. There are a lot of regrets, pain, guilt, darkness. As we remember our past, sometimes we feel dark. We feel painful. But both positive and negative things of our past have shaped who we are now. But is our life governed only by the past events? I think there's another stronger force. That is your vision for the future. Not only your past shaped who you are now, but your vision for the future also shapes who you are now. When the vision for the future is greater than the regret of the past, then new life can begin. That's where new life begins. Our story is not finished. Your life is like a story in the making. How are you going to conclude your last chapter? It's still to be written. And young people, you're just starting the introduction. And then you're writing chapter one, chapter two. And then I like to see exciting chapters coming out of you, coming out of your life. Some daring stories. Not just, oh, I just follow the pattern. That's a boring story. But some exciting stories that you took some risks to do something. So we are still, and we have a lot of chapters to write. It is true that our past had a profound effect on our present life, but our hope for the future creates new story for all of us. Isaiah said today, "For I am about to create new heavens and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. When the new heavens and new earth come, the former things will be gone." Yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all connected. One long stream of river. Paul Jane found a very good picture. River has a particular shape, and waters in that river follow the shape of the river. But also, this water creates new shape. Over the years, it creates new shape of the river. So it does both. So you follow the shape, but also you create new shape in your life. We have to understand what our pattern looks like. Because of our understanding of what is going on in our life, has a crucial role in shaping our life. There are some major events in your life that put you in a new direction and new chapter. So meaning of life is not something that you make arbitrarily. Okay, I'll make this as meaning of life. You can't do that. Also, meaning of life is not out there so that you can go out and find it. Meaning of life is being shaped in your story. But when do we feel that what's happening in your life is indifferent to us? Just random. When do you do that? When do you feel that? When there's suffering. When there's suffering, suffering hits us, our experience of graciousness is gone. We feel that life just things happen randomly. Job, every time he gave sacrifice, believing that if I give sacrifice, then God will not bring disaster to me. So he did that all the time. But in spite of doing that, all the tragedies happened. His children were killed. And he lost everything. When he experienced that suffering, he felt that life is indifferent. Things happen just randomly. This is what he said. "Truly the thing that I fear comes upon me. And what I dread befalls me. I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble." The fear was that he had a theory. If I'm good to God, God will be good to me. That was his theory. But that theory was completely destroyed. And that fear was that life might be just indifferent. Regardless of what I do, bad things can happen. So his theory is gone, and when suffering hit him, he felt life was indifferent. I believe that that's where faith comes in. Faith. when suffering hits us, that's where the faith comes in. Faith is finding graciousness in the ungracious world. So, stories of life and faith, those should be connected together. So then you can find graciousness in the ungracious world. Our stories are revelation. Revelation of what? Revelation of divine presence. Job held onto that graciousness of God in the gracious, ungracious world before he held on to the theory. If I'm good to God, God will be good to me. That's theory. That's a formula. But he threw away the formula from his experience of suffering, and then he held on to the graciousness of God in the ungracious world. Jesus held on to the graciousness of God in the ungracious world. He didn't know exactly how God would present himself to him, but he held on to the graciousness of God. When suffering hits you, I hope that you can hold on to the graciousness of God in the ungracious experience you have. Faith does not guarantee necessarily that everything will be good. Faith finds only the graciousness of God. Faith holds on to the fact that our stories will ultimately move towards God's presence. So, faith always has this aspect of in spite of, not because of. In spite of difficulties and hardships, your stories will ultimately end at God. That was what the poet Habakkuk, I'll call him poet rather than prophet. Poet Habakkuk wrote this. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet, in spite of all that, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and makes me tread upon. That's Habakkuk, the poet. Faith is a powerful lens through which we can see beyond the surface of what we are going through. My final point is our faith in God becomes God's faith. Our faith in God becomes God's faith in us. When that happens, our story becomes God's story. Your story is not just your story. Your story becomes God's story. When our faith in God becomes God's faith in us, we have tremendous confidence. When we see only our faith, we still become anxious and uncertain. But when we start seeing God's faith in us, we get solid confidence. Our faith in God may be weak, but God's faith in you is so strong. That's what Job held on to. This is what Job said. If I go forward, he's not there. Or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides. I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. This is his faith. He cannot even see God. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out of it. He can see God. His vision of faith became very blurry. He couldn't see anything good. He was so disillusioned. But he held on to God's faith in him. God's faith in you. Your faith in God is not as important as God's faith in you. When you find God's faith in you, then your life will be alright. You'll be confident. I often give you this story. Two boys are crossing the river. Very fast stream. In the beginning, one boy holds on to the father. If I lose this hand, I'm dead. So he holds on to our father so hard. But the other boy, at one point, he feels a strong hand of father holding him. And from then on, he has confidence. Even though I'm not strong, even though I cannot hold on to that hand all the time, I know the strong hand is holding on to me. When you find that, then you have confidence. So when our faith in God becomes God's faith in us, then you'll be confident. You'll be strong. That's what true faith is all about. When your hand that holds on to God may be weak, but God's hand that holds on to you is very strong. Your future is open-ended. We don't know exactly how our story will end. I'm 61. I'm at the end of my career. That began when I was in second year university. All my life I've done this. And at that moment in second year university, determined what kind of life I will live. Now I look back after many years, I see some shape of what God wanted to do and how God shaped me, and I'm very thankful for that. I still have about 9 years left to live. And I'll see how God is going to shape me in the course. And I still have a lot of dreams. My career is over, but career. But life will go on. Move on. What kind of person I'm going to be? What kind of life I'm going to do? It's very exciting. God will open up new chapter in our lives. I hope that you can all explore your stories and live well. To live well, you have to understand your story. If you don't have a story, then you don't have life. You're just doing things. Doing things never gives you satisfaction. Understanding it gives you satisfaction. So I hope that you all have this great opportunity at this retreat to write your own story, to share your own story with each other, and sharpen your story. Don't just complain about your bad situations. A bad situation may be necessary for the greater good to come. So think about that and make your life strong, hopeful, positive, and powerful. And enjoy it. Every moment of it, enjoy it. Life is short. Enjoy it. The the best way to enjoy it is to always walk that journey with God. Then you can appreciate every moment of it. Even the simple food, simple entertainment, you will enjoy everything out of your life. Beautiful weather, beautiful facility, beautiful people. Wow. I mean, it is just wonderful that to be here, and I want you to enjoy the whole day with God. All right? That's all I have to say for now. And then you're going to your group discussion. And